Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Every day is filled with opportunities to express yourself. And with an everyday piece from Blue Nile, you can do it without saying a word. Blue Nile's collection of diamond jewelry is the ultimate statement, with sparkle that elevates any outfit. Or switch things up with a sapphire piece sure to spark conversation. Either way, their diamond guarantee ensures you get the highest quality at the best price. Express yourself with Blue Nile, the original online jeweler, at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is a Four Center podcast feed. I'm Ken Napsok.
And I'm Joseph Scrimshaw. This is one of our News and Q's episodes. The Q stands for questions, and the news stands for news. It all makes sense. Ken, we have, like, great balance today, because I think we have four great news stories, and as always, four great questions. Everything is in perfect balance.
The light side in the dark? No. Okay, no. True balance has been achieved today. Absolutely.
Yes, the balance between the news and the cues, the cosmic balance is restored.
That's what George was getting at there. Before we get to that balance, we're going to let you all know and remind you that today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/4center. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. As always, a little bit later, we'll have our 4center recommends an audiobook we think you should try out on us. But that is not all, Joseph.
No, there is another offer. Inside Editions, publisher of a ton of great Star Wars books and other pop culture books, too. They are offering 35% off across their website with a special 4center code. To get your discount, you can enter the coupon code FC35 or visit the website with this link, InsideEditions.com/discount/FC35. This week, we are continuing to recommend the Inside Editions book, Secrets of the Jedi. It is one of our favorites. It's got a great little piece of paper that you can pull out and teach yourself or a besh to guess quotes, famous quotes from Jedi. And also, this is a great setup for the book that's coming out soon, Secrets of the Sith. So learn the Jedi secrets and the Sith secrets and compare and see if there's anything that they're sharing.
Yes.
You can check it out with the code FC35.
Do it. We love the Secrets of Jedi. I have that book out in the living room. I've recently rearranged some stuff, and right now in my hand, because it's now 4 inches from me anytime I record, is the lightsaber collection book from Inside Edition. So whenever I need, I can just flip through that.
Yeah. Just it's time to look at some hilts.
Look at some hilts. Use that code FC35. Star Wars and Life Adventures is where we go to next. Catching up. Joseph, how was your life adventures, and did Star Wars find its way into your life again?
You know, Star Wars did find its way into my life a lot, which is great. It really is. It's been a good Star Wars week. Lots of fun stuff for the podcast. Been reading Rising Storm. Obviously, watching Bad Batch, enjoying the hell out of that and thinking about it and all of its ramifications. But then went to a bookstore with my wonderful wife, Sarah, and had a ton of fun just looking at we were just at a Barnes & Noble. And it is the Barnes & Noble at The Grove, which is the sort of outdoor shopping mall in Los Angeles. And I like that Barnes & Noble. I don't think I've been to that one in a long time, but it's got, this third floor where the Star Wars books are. There are other books, too, but the Star Wars books are on the third floor. And it's got this big opening in the third floor so you can look down on the majesty of the other two floors of Barnes & Noble. But I just had this incredibly strong sense memory of a library that I used to go to when I was a kid. And I always wanted to go to that library, not only because they had like an AV set up where they were almost always playing Star Wars. And I would just the first film, A New Hope, and I would stand there and watch bits of it. But the reason I love that library is it also had a big cutout on the second floor where you could look down. And I remember always pretending that was the big hole in the ground on the Death Star, you know, docking bay where the Falcon gets pulled in. And I realized, like, I've just got this great affinity for just holes in buildings on upper floors because they make me think of Star Wars in this like visceral way, like this little kid, like, cool, any hole is the hole in the docking bay of the Death Star. So that was really fun I was looking at the Star Wars books. I saw some Legends and EU ones that I hadn't really paid attention to before because I just wasn't reading at the time. I was like really excited about reading them. I have picked up recently the Kenobi book, just got the Mace Windu Shatterpoint in that great new 50th Lucasfilm anniversary. So I'm just kind of I'm overwhelmed with the amount of Star Wars that I truly want to read. Like, it would be great to cover every single book on Star Wars, but also or on Force Center. But like, I also just like find myself thinking like, I wish that I had a whole separate life that was just reading Star Wars books timeline wise, because I just want to read so much.
Yeah, that'd be a bit of a dream. Yeah, we are already living a dream. Let's be honest. Both of our weekends were similar. Phantom Menace, Rising Storm, Bad Batch. We're all on our plates this weekend. It's a good life. But yeah,
no. Yeah, good life. But yeah, like it'd be great if I could astral project like they do in the MCU and read books in my astral form. Put it that way.
That sounds downright multiverse like.
indeed. And then the other kind of life adventure. This was a big weekend for getting out there and getting back together with friends who are vaccinated and hanging out. And my wife and I ended up seeing three different sets of friends this weekend.
Nice.
And all of them had stories about Galaxy's Edge. So that was really fun to talk Star Wars with all of my friends this weekend. Not all of my friends, all of the friends I saw this weekend.
Yeah, that's great. That's a great feeling to reconnect with friends in person. I think, I don't know. I think we all got the last year or so we've missed that. But I think even now as it starts to happen, you really understand how much we just took that for granted, right? It feels different.
Yeah. No, and it has been really, really great to get out and remember like how to talk to people
not in podcast form. Although I still probably did. I did have some moments where I started like, oh, I'm interviewing this person like it's a podcast. relax. But it was great to socialize and just great to talk to people about Star Wars. And honestly, just great to see that just the love of Star Wars, because people were, this was just kind of casual friends talking about their experiences at Galaxy's Edge in particular. So it was like, I saw Kylo do this. I loved it when this, I considered buying this. And it wasn't, you know, any sort of some of the intensity of like, which movie's good, which movie's bad. It was just people engaging with the parts of it they love and chatting about it in a casual way, which was really fun.
You know what I love about that? It is something similar to what I saw this past week. A friend of mine who I've known from the pro wrestling world for a while, he was actually the first wrestler I managed back in 2001, unbelievably. He is a big Star Wars fan, but he's not a big sequel trilogy fan, and is at times rather vocal about it. And we've had some nice discussions about it. We don't hang out often, but the last time we did see each other during the lockdown, we talked about it. You know, we don't bash each other over the head with it, but we disagree about it. But he was at Galaxy's Edge this past week and was posting some pictures on Facebook that were just full of joy, just full of excitement. And he had a youngster with him, and I believe his fiance as well, but all of them in the pictures. Just celebrating it, just feeling it, not worried about, you know, Rey or Kylo walking around or whatever, you know, and maybe there's a spot here and there, but that did not exist. It was just Star Wars love on his face. And I think that's one of the things I love most about that silly little land in Orlando or Disney or Anaheim.
Yeah, it really does get past any of the sometimes the upset or the concern or the cynicism and just brings you into Star Wars joy. That's great.
That's wonderful. It's wonderful.
How about you? What were your adventures in life and Star Wars?
Well, as always, a lot of it are based around what we're doing here for the podcast. And on Thursday, I think what we'll reveal right now, we're doing a Star Wars Force Center scene by scene. And it is, you've got a great title for it. I've already made a thumbnail for it for the YouTube version. I'm so excited about it. And it revolves around Boss Nass.
Yes.
And so we're watching that scene. This is the Qui-Gon Obi-Wan Boss Nass meeting. And I was just giddy with excitement watching this scene. I can't wait to dive into it because that scene represents a big part of many different eras of my Star Wars fandom.
From the dark to the light, huh?
That's exactly it. So I was downright giddy just watching it. It was a lot of fun. And that's one of those times where I'm like, man, hot damn, I just really enjoy what we do here at Force Center. And you and I and Jennifer have the opportunity to do it and to do it for so long. We are, again, approaching about 2 months out from our 1,000th total broadcast, which we don't celebrate numbers all the time here at Force Center. We churn a lot out. We know that. But it's a milestone, and we're excited for it. So that's been good. But the other thing, I had a valuable lesson. I'll try not to go into the nitty gritty details here, Joseph, but we have you've been to our house, Joseph, Grace and I live in a very old built in 1920, the year 1920 house. So that means small bedrooms, but giant living rooms. So because of that, Grace and I kind of both have living rooms. We have individual living rooms, which is kind of weird. Not even a compromise. She liked the idea once I had pitched it, and I can play video games. She can watch her French murder mystery shows. We're all happy. We come together on her couch to watch Ghost Adventures and things like that. But I have a lot of my stuff on display, right? As one would imagine. And recently there was a debate about how much Star Wars things I should be displaying in this combined living room. I got a little upset. I got a little upset, Joseph. A little angry. And, reached a compromise, as any good relationship is. A lot of my stuff, went to IKEA, got a new little shelf. I don't have a big studio. What I'm recording in right now, it's compact, and there's a lot of things in here, a lot of microphones, cameras, and whatnot. A lot of things on the wall. But I compromised, but at times it felt like giving in, and it was a little bit of an issue. And now here we are. This is a lesson in Luke Skywalker in Episode 8. What I love that they do with that, the peace and purpose, the moving on, the accepting of transformations and change in the next chapter of life. Leia in 9, and especially in the novelization, though I think it's present in the film, but in the novelization with even Luke in her ears, so to speak, saying it's time to let go, time to move on. And then Palpatine, one of the big reasons you and I love Palpatine coming back and the way they used him, the why of it is the indication of not letting go.
Right.
That Sith anger and that. So here I am in my studio right now, the new bookshelf. A lot of my little mini pops or figures or DVDs, Blu-rays and whatnot from Game of Thrones and Star Wars on display in front of me. And I've accepted the change, and not just accepted it, not gave into it. I've embraced it, Red Hot Joseph, because you know what this means? I now have the ability to display more things than I did before. I went and got a little mini shelf, like a little spice rack type thing. I got some additional stick-on shelves. I'm going to be able to maybe even take some things out of the box. And I was like, this is a Star Wars lesson. You could hold on to what you knew, what you had. Hold on to that with a tightly gripped, sweaty fist that's just that Tarkin grip, holding on to systems, Palpatine holding on to his life and his power. And you can let that just kind of trap you and stay where you are. Or you can embrace change, embrace next chapter, approach it with calm and a sense of peace and purpose. And you might end up, just might end up better on the other side. So that is a Star Wars lesson wrapped up in Star Wars memorabilia.
Well, that is great. That is a real, also your focus determines your reality, right?
Yeah.
Because you even kind of went through it of like, you know, you're living in a shared space. Yep. And your partner's like, maybe I want it a little bit more like this. And you could see that as a conflict, right?
Yeah.
Or you could see that as an opportunity, and you saw it, ended up seeing it as an opportunity of like, oh yeah, but if I move these to this other room, I can really make a thing of it, and I can arrange them and celebrate them. And that's a great, your focus determines your reality. This doesn't have to be a conflict. It can be a compromise, and it can have benefits.
Yeah. And sometimes you look down at your green lightsaber and your nephew underneath you, and you make a momentary mistake and you feel like a failure. But we talked before, like, displaying Star Wars things isn't a simple thing for me and for you as well. And a lot of people listening, it means a lot, whether it's toys, Funko Pops, books, things on the wall. It doesn't matter. These represent us, and Star Wars represents us and our life journeys in such a way. It's pretty powerful stuff. I talked about how I got in trouble at my old job for having things displayed. And I was beaten up and bullied and choked on a playground for being a quote unquote nerd or a geek and wearing Star Wars stuff. All those journeys. And I can hold on to that, and it's powerful things. And I shared those and it was understood, but I could hold on to that, or I can, like you said, focus determines reality. I can hold on to the conflict, or I can step forward into the light. And now I've got so many little of those Funko Pop minis staring at me right now.
Well, that is great. That is great. And I'm inspired to try to organize my action figures because you've been in my apartment. It's not large. And Star Wars figures are just like, it's not even like I'm buying them. It's just like they're growing. That, like, did you two action figures make a third action figure while I wasn't looking? And it's just, they bring me great joy. All the things that we talk about, they are individual characters are a symbol, but when I bought them as a symbol, the journey I've gone through of owning my fandom, like you're talking about, of like, there's times when, you know, that the rest of the world was trying to get you to deny a part of who you are. Mm-hmm. You should be ashamed of this and you should hide it. So them just being out can be a little bit of a, no, I'm going to reject all that negativity and I'm going to embrace who I am and what brings me joy. All those things are all tied up in them. But then there is just also the practicality of there's a lot of them. one of my friends that we were hanging out with last night had last been over to record a podcast, you know, kind of close to when the pandemic was about to get going. But, you know, a year and a half, 2 years, I can't remember exactly what it was. And she's like, there's so many action figures in your apartment. So many. You don't have more, do you? I was like, I do indeed. And it wasn't a moment of judgment. It was a moment of having fun laughing in a good way about, no, they're more. There's so many more.
No figure has ever really gone. And at the end of the day, you know, I have bookshelves, and the primary focus is the books. But I put on those shelves, you know, I got like a Kylo Ren sitting on the DVDs, you know, I got like that kind of, and after a while I was like, what am I holding on to? All those things about what they mean to me are very powerful without a doubt. But one of the things I was holding on to be displayed in our living room was a little Ewok Wicket Hot Wheels car. I'm like, is this really what I'm going to go down in a fight over? Is it really who I am? Let's move Wicket, the car Wicket version, into my office.
Yes, yes, that is a compromise, and I would be willing to make those compromises if some of them were asked of me. Of like, it's great that five surfaces are covered with Star Wars action figures, but could we not do a sixth? That's a compromise that I'm planning on needing to make with my partner.
I will recommend this bookshelf to you. I'll send pictures. It's small, okay. 2.5 feet wide. It's great. Got drawers. There you go. Big lessons and a lot of fun and a lot of friends in our Star Wars adventures. Let's dive into the news, Joseph. And first thing we're going to mention up top is something that came out today, the day of our recording. We record on Mondays, release on Tuesday. Great interview in the AV Club with Leslie Headland. Nothing in terms of news that, you know, no, not a lot of sneak peeks of Acolyte or any kind of clues you can pick up on. In fact, it's a lot of things we've heard her say or mention before in other interviews. But really good interview. It kind of got a lot of people excited, particularly in our Force Center Discord that you can access through the Patreon page. A lot of people really excited just about the way she talks about Star Wars, takes in Star Wars, and then ultimately creates Star Wars, or, you know, what we're going to see with Acolyte. It just got a lot of people excited, and we love the excitement around the Acolyte, Joseph, yeah?
Absolutely, yeah. I think she restated a lot of, like, really great things, really great perspective. I think things that we're probably excited about, because they are ways that we talk about embracing Star Wars here on the podcast, of really, really appreciating that Star Wars means something different to lots of different people because they come to it at different times, and that creators really need to sort of respect that, but also bring their personal into their creation of Star Wars and say, why does Star Wars resonate with me? A lot of great stuff about breaking down what exactly Lucas created, and then in all these Disney Plus shows, how different people are picking the parts of what Lucas created that resonate with them and building them out. Lots of great thoughts on all that stuff. But I think the thing in that interview that really resonated is her saying all these different ways in times that she enjoyed Star Wars, but that one of the most powerful is playing Star Wars role-playing games, RPGs, because you truly got to make your own Star Wars. You got to disappear into the world of Star Wars. And I think that's so, so important. You know, these are stories that creators tell, and I think we're really big on try to hear the story that the creators is telling you and engage with that. But I also just think that one of the huge powers of Star Wars goes to what you were saying about, like, your wrestling friend at Galaxy's Edge. A huge part of what makes Star Wars special is it's this invitation into another world. And we do enjoy the stories, but a lot of what makes Star Wars powerful is the community and the imagination that it inspires. And Leslie Headland keeps talking about that, about what's powerful about Star Wars is the community and the imagination of kind of living in this world, that the stories are incredibly valuable by themselves, but the stories can also just be doors into a world of imagination. And I love hearing her talk about that so eloquently.
Yeah, I right there with you on that. Great point. There's so many things. Why I keep getting excited when I hear her talk about Star Wars, it is, she's definitely not saying there is one way to watch it, one way to be influenced by it, one way to experience it. She, like you said, acknowledges, like we talk about here, and everyone out there in the fandom realizes there's different ways to take it in. But I just love everything that she's talking about. I always talk about that shared, unique experience, or that shared, unique journey we all have, where we feel like we're the only ones, but we're not alone. The way she just on a you know, the way Star Wars has affected her at different points in her life, the way she's pulled stuff out of it, her journey with maybe even the prequels to from then to now, it's all that kind of stuff similar. And then, and a shout out to our listener, Kara Baster in Discord, who tagged me this morning in this, just talking about George Lucas seeing film as tone poems. And tone poems is one of our favorite Star Wars descriptors. I love all the notes she plays when talking about Star Wars. So we're really excited for the Acolyte.
That's so great to hear that tone poem quote was pulled out, because I just really, there's a lot of that in Star Wars, but I've really been feeling it in Bad Batch, that just like a lot of the meaning and a lot of the idea is just there visually. It is a visual tone poem, and it's great to celebrate.
Great indeed. So we just wanted to mention that because it got people talking this week. From there, though, we'll go into some Star Wars headlines. Three Star Wars stars will be immortalized in concrete. That's right. We have our 2022 inductees for the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Time has no meaning right now. I actually was talking to someone last week as if we we're currently in 2022. I looked, it was at our office at the GPA, and I looked at some cheese. I go, oh, this is expired. And Akaika, our technical guy, goes, what do you mean? I go, well, it says September 2021. And he stares at me for a while. And I go, yeah. And he goes, it's June 2021. I was like, God, I thought it was 2022. So time
I think it's 2020 and a half.
Yeah.
Right now.
Time has no meaning. This is for next year. 39 total names. Some bands were inducted this year or next year, including Francis Ford Coppola. So here's this discussion. The Walk of Fame is both special and cheesy, Joseph. The cost right now, roughly around $50,000 to get a star. You have to kind of get a group behind it. They'll nominate you. They'll pay for it. Sometimes corporations, Disney or whatnot, will cover the cost. So that can sometimes, when I found that out, it took away some of the luster. When I moved to LA and I'm walking around, it's like, well, you know, it costs about $10,000. It's like, what? You could buy one? It's not that simple, but it's kind of there. But this does have meaning to it. And you don't live too far from the start of it, Joseph. Like you could probably walk to a store and walk across the Walk of Fame. So what does this mean? And what is these names, particularly Carrie Fisher? Because, oh, I forgot to announce Ewan McGregor, Ming-Na Wen, and Carrie Fisher are part of the inductees. So what does this all mean to you?
Yeah, it means a lot. It is definitely a part of it is what it means just culturally in lots of different ways. But also the fact that for me, it is walking distance, you know, and I grew up in the Midwest and didn't really visit Los Angeles until I considered moving here. And now, like, yeah, it's 5-10 minutes to walk to the Walk of Fame. And a lot of times just like, I want to go to a movie, or I'm going to pick something up at this particular store, or I got to get this done. It's like, it's my neighborhood. And that's a little part of, I think, what is so unique and weird about the Walk of Fame is that it does kind of successfully capture the weirdness that is Hollywood and entertainment. It is both deeply meaningful. It is absolutely the celebration of dreams and accomplishments and what these various stars have created and how they've then bonded themselves to people and what it means when you see a star of somebody you love. But it's also, it's a sidewalk in a neighborhood. And a neighborhood that has had its ups and downs over the years. And sometimes, like I remember, I saw booze specifically spilled on the star of Dean Martin, who is a singer that I love, who had a long-term shtick of being drunk on stage, jokingly drunk, sometimes really drunk. And it was just like, this is perfect, because that's kind of honoring him, but it's kind of the Walk of Fame, you know? It's kind of like, it's dream meets reality is the Walk of Fame, and that's a real accurate thing to Hollywood. And it's why it's there, right? It didn't, the stars don't organically grow when truth allows them to be there. It was started as a way to draw people back to this, neighborhood and, you know, help it out. So yeah, I have a lot of feelings about what the actual Walk of Fame is. Mm-hmm. But the other thing I wanted to say real quick, and then we'll get into the Star Wars of it, is another thing that is extremely impactful to me about it is, even though it's a sidewalk, and sometimes you can see like, wow, it's amazing that this artist accomplished that, and also a dog pooped on them. That's a bummer. You know, it's that real contrast between the heights of success and the reality of life. But one of the things that does give it its power to me is it started in the 50s, and in the 50s it looked back. So it's carrying a lot of names that time can forget, and Hollywood can really be a place of, oh, did you have a hit movie 2 years ago? That was 2 years ago. You're nothing. We only care about what's now. Now can matter in the business of Hollywood.
Yeah.
So for me, being a fan of many older performers and styles of performance, you know, to see names that are relatively obscure now, you know, to walk past Louis Prima's star and go, ah, I like that performer. And that's where the name Louis O'Brien comes from. Right. There's a power to it is celebrating the history of entertainment. It values history. Mm. And it's really cool for me to know these stars that I like now in Star Wars are going to be a part of history.
All well said, especially the meaning of it. Yeah, it can be could be a little weird. I remember the first time really walking on it, not until I moved here, even though I'd been, I was born in the city of Orange, which is about an hour south in Anaheim, Orange County area. But I was raised 2.5 hours north of Los Angeles, even though we went to my uncle's house in Eagle Rock. We didn't go to the Walk of Fame. Like, we didn't do that. And so when I finally hear in my early days of LA, 98, 99, I remember hitting down to Vine and Hollywood and everything. And you get, you know, like, wow, look at this. I'm seeing this. And then, yeah, the reality starts to set in. But even now, especially if you go to El Capitan, which is right there, the heart, Hollywood Highland, I love looking at the names I don't know. And you're so right. It is forever preserved. And how you got there, whether a group of fans paid for it or a studio paid to help promote their TV show, you can get wrapped up in that cynicism. We can do that in Star Wars, or you can go to Galaxy's Edge and just smile. And I enjoy it. I enjoy walking down and seeing some of the names, especially like the old radio names and all those kind of things.
It's Broadway stars.
It's everything, right? It's not just Warren Beatty. It's a lot. And now that I think about it, who knows? Warren Beatty might not even be there. I don't know. I mean, Francis Ford Coppola. Yeah. So it's weird. And so I love with this one too, with Ming-Na Wen and Ewan McGregor specifically, they are modern stars who've been at it long enough. And I always say it's like, you can still look at Ewan McGregor and be like, oh, that new actor that came out in Trainspotting, that was 25 years ago. So you're right. Hollywood is a way of marching on. And I think both of them, look, Ewan's a bona fide star. Ming-Na Wen's got a great career, but I think they're both getting a little bit of that Star Wars bump right now.
Oh, yes. Yes. Yeah. I mean, when you're talking about, you know, there's money behind it. I mean, part of it is like, yeah, there actually is money required. It's doing something to a sidewalk. But it's also just like, you can't be like, hi, I'm Bob. I made an indie film once and didn't actually show it anywhere. I have one IMDb credit. Here's my money. You're not getting a star. You know, you still have to have accomplished things, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So I love that they get that now. And then as far as Carrie Fisher, is it late in the game? Yeah, no, it's right at the right time. Though I do, and I'm sure you agree, Joseph, I'm a little saddened by the fact that Carrie Fisher won't be there to, if they were to do a ceremony, give a speech about her name being on a sidewalk.
Yeah.
It would be funny.
It is so, so great to honor Carrie Fisher, and it is so sad that it is posthumous, because it would be great to hear the jokes from her mouth that only she could come up with. Yeah. But if anyone in the world ever deserved a star here, it's Carrie Fisher, right? Because she is Hollywood royalty. She did, accomplish so many things. And exactly as you're saying, she would have such a sense of humor about this, because the Walk of Fame really does reflect the Hollywood that she lived in. That is, it's dream meets reality. This is impressive. This is special. But it's also weird and human, and let's not take it too seriously, right? Like, she would be thrilled, right, Gary, her dog, had left a little gift somewhere near her star, and she'd be like, that's it, that's Hollywood, Gary captured it. Not to put jokes in her mouth, who knows what she would say. This is just my fun imagining of the way she would filter both the dream and the reality of getting a star.
Yeah, and I am definitely... curious. I'm on walkoffame.com, where you can go to and you can find a star. And I went to the Debbie Reynolds one, and it's at 721 Hollywood Boulevard. I would love if Carrie gets near that or close. I don't know. Sometimes it's a luck of the draw, I guess, but that'd be interesting.
There's a lot going on with the placement. So like one of Frank Sinatra's recording stars, I believe, right outside where his agency used to be. And now it's a deli or something. So it doesn't look like it resonates. But like Mark Hamill's star is right outside of El Capitan, the theater that Disney owns. And what do you know? It came out exactly when The Last Jedi was coming out for home video and streaming. So, Carrie Fisher is, I think, in one way the most important to me. But in terms of just kind of getting down to the details of covering Star Wars news, this is great. This is Disney saying, we are going to make a splash out of the Kenobi show. And you can bet Ewan McGregor's ceremony is going to be smack dab in relationship to that Kenobi show. And Ming-Na Wen, this is absolutely deserved, right? But she has this huge Disney career of Mulan and Agent May on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and now Fennec Shand, like, and who knows if that one will be near any moment for Book of Boba Fett. But it is a real show of investment in these shows and these stars from Disney.
That's a great way to look at it, too. Also, I just discovered, well, I didn't know, Debbie Reynolds, born in El Paso, Texas, raised in Burbank, went to a high school around the corner from me. I didn't know this stuff. Beautiful Burbank, California.
History. Bro. It's history. History in the sidewalk.
Oh, that's so we'll let you know. And look, if there's a ceremony for all three of these names and you have like 2 years to get a ceremony in. But I think you're right. I think there's going to be some timing with some of these stars. If they do happen, I don't know. I've never been to a ceremony. It's a bit crowded. It's a bit chaotic, but who knows? A Carrie Fisher one. I wouldn't mind going out there and shedding a tear, watching her name put into concrete on a sidewalk.
Oh, that. Yes, absolutely.
Next headline. This one is, I think it was just for me. I'm the only one that likes these books, Joseph. No, I'm kidding. Star Wars Battles That Changed the Galaxy is on the way. Yes, that's right. This is a book where they're like, what will Ken get super excited for? Make that happen. This is a book covering the Battle of Naboo, all the way to the Battle of Exegol, and of course, many, many battles in between. Star Wars Battles That Changed the Galaxy will dive deep into the wars in these stars. This includes books and comics as well as animated shows, not just the movies. So we'll start there. I am joking, of course. I know a lot of you out there love these wars. They have importance because, well, this is Star Wars, and each war moves the eras and the plots and the movies and the books and the shows forward, and they deserve a deep dive. Joseph, since I know, you know, this is an easy sell for me, what are you looking forward to in a book like this?
Yeah, no, I'm excited about this one. Have people made you feel like this is a weird part of Star Wars to get excited about?
No, I just think I don't shut up about it.
Got it.
I just think, the whole war over lore type of thing, which doesn't even necessarily, never really was, what it was. But I'm the type that's like 3 hours on the Battle of Jakku. Give me that.
Got it. You're feeling like you're broken, being a broken record about your love of the battles.
Yes.
I do not think you're being a broken record, and I'm so thrilled that this book is coming out. I know how much you're gonna love it. I'm definitely excited about this, and I would be excited to cover this one. We can do a podcast per page if you want on this one. Those sample pages, I think if I just heard the concept, I'd be like, cool. But I have a lot of questions about the execution. Mm-hmm. Those sample pages answer a lot of questions and make me really excited. I think what's thrilling to me about this book, to answer your question, is it's such a great mix of the romance and the realism of Star Wars. Because mm-hmm. that's, one of those dualities that I think there's tension between. It's the myth of Anakin Skywalker, who passes his blade down to his son, who's named Luke Skywalker, because that's mythic that they have the same names. But then you bring the realism and people be like, well, why didn't they change his name? And, there's always that tension between romance and realism. These big wars in the stars, these epic conflicts between good and evil, or, light and dark, confused and not confused, who knows? All these big epic battles. A book like this looks like it's capturing the romance of that. But then it's also going to get into crunchy details like, well, who was commander? What was the most vital, vehicle or ship in this battle? What date did it happen on? It looks like the dates are BFE and AFE, which I assume is before and after formation of Empire. That also means it's, the date of Anakin's fall, the age of the Skywalker twins. I'm really excited by that crunchy detail of looking at the timeline with that date structure. So tons of fun things in this.
Jason Fry, Amy Ratcliffe, Cole Horton, and Chris Kempshaw are the writers. It's coming October 5th. But yeah, the sample page was great, because it's an Inside Editions book, I think. So what's his name? Daniel Wallace wrote there's a Battlegrounds kind of one, and it's similar format, but it's maybe not as detailed, and this is obviously updated to include more of the battles. But I too was like, all right, cool. What do you got for me? And then there's a sample page. You guys can click the story out there on StarWars.com. And it's got that map of Scarif. And I went, oh no. Oh, this is going to be an entire day. I'm going to sit down with that map alone and just do a lot of, you all can't see me, but just a lot of, okay, that happened there. Oh, and that happened there. Oh, I never knew they were that close. Oh, okay. It's going to be a great day around the house.
Yeah, like exactly what path did which garrison take to get to which insurgent group? Yeah.
I mean, one of my favorite shots for so many reasons, but just with Credic and just everything exploding out in the background behind them, and deploy the garrison. But I just love, like, I literally in screen going, Okay, so that, oh, Melshi's there. Oh, okay, okay. Now to have it in a map, in a book, literally covering it. I mean, there you go. I'm just super excited. Super
right.
excited.
Right, and I think that's because this book really does let those of us who love those specific kinds of details to get into those crunchy yeah. details, and these are some great authors for it. I also like from the sample pages that, you know, there's a couple different ways you could go with this book, with a book like this. You could commission all new artwork, so all of the artwork was the same, but I really like that they're using art from the story source. So if it's from a movie, it's clips from a movie. If it's from Clone Wars, it's all Clone Wars art. If it's comic books, it's from comic book art. So it also seems to me like this book is super cool if you're already all in on this great connected canon of Star Wars. But if you've just been watching the movies, you get this book and you're like, okay, this battle sounds really cool. I guess I got to watch that Clone Wars. I guess I got to check out that comic book. It seems like a great way to invite people in as well.
Yeah, that's important as well. So talking a little bit about battles, we don't want to go too deep. Do you have a favorite battle or three, but do you have one that you're really excited to dive into and maybe an underrated one that you really are excited that they're kind of going to cover?
Yeah, I'm really excited to see how they cover the second battle of Geonosis because I really like that arc in the Clone Wars. I like kind of the meaning of this was the first big battle and now we got to go back. It's a brutal battle. It's not going well. And then I'm just curious if the brainworms
yeah.
make an appearance. So the second battle of Geonosis, I'm really intrigued on how it gets covered. In terms of a favorite battle, I'm really curious to see how they handle the Battle of Hoth. I love it. I've played it in a video game 1,000 times, but I've also seen like fun articles of different like people who actually study war tactics trying to break down like, does the Battle of Hoth work? Who's trying to do what and why? And is it, you know, and some of the fun exercises of these books is like making the fun romance and fantasy we see on screen make sort of crunchy sense. So I'm curious to see if they dive into the Battle of Hoth and, you know, try to explain it.
That's definitely that romance realism thing is a great thing for this kind of book. Cause yeah, you could get lost in it. You can get lost in that kind of stuff. I'm excited to see the man. So yeah, I mean, I've always like dropped those walkers close, like, come on, you know, come on. might not have been beers.
Yeah. How about you? Are you interested in a specific battle? Like Endor and Jakku could be like chapters long, right? With all the different stories you're tracking, right?
I've said before, I want an absolute entire book or a documentary on the Battle of Jakku. The problem is they keep adding to it. I mean, the Alphabet Squadron stuff showed up, and it was some of my favorite additions to the Battle of Jakku. But there's so many things going on there in that battle because it is so big and it's so important. And there's so different thing, the Gallius Rex, Ray Sloan stuff, Nora Wexley, all that kind of stuff in the Aftermath series. Aiden Versio and her father. There's just so many big Lost Stars, the first real big thing after Force Awakens that we got from this. There's so much there. This book's going to really scratch that itch for me, but it's an itch I want to keep scratching. That's a weird itch. But yeah, that's good. So Battle of Jakku will be my one. I think we have, what am I trying to say about Jakku? This is a good opportunity to just get some of those more sequel era battles into everyone's mindset, if that makes sense. And just answering some questions and just laying them down on a story map and saying, here's where they all connect and here's where they all matter. I'm very curious about the Battle of Exegol. In terms of an underrated battle we want to know more about, I don't want to step in your answer. The second Battle of Geonosis is really interesting to me because it is kind of we got to go back to the island, and it's forgotten a lot, and it's forgotten about some of its importance. So that one as well. I'll take a look at that one. And what's the one, you know it more than me even now, the one from the comics where Dodonna dies.
Yeah, the Virgos Voss battle. Yeah, it's really being elevated in canon because it's super important. And I think it's one of those moments where it really connects the comics being like, yeah, no, sometimes details get changed when they're translated, when moments are translated to screen, but like important things happen in these comics. And I really love it because it answers in this devastating way. Like, there's a lot of characters that are around in Rogue One and New Hope that are not around. And wow, it's a very dramatic story of why.
Yeah. 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 So I'd love to, I'm getting lost. I'm flummoxed out of joy because I want maps. I want pictures. It's going to be fun. But as far as that comic one, yeah, just to, again, that laid on a story map works for me. Even someone like me who can overlook certain battles. Yeah, okay, Dodona happened there. Yeah, I'll file that away. He died there. Well, I'll file that one away. But it's like to actually see the impact, feel the impact. It's exciting to me. Exciting.
Yeah, yeah. I think this is going to be a good one. We don't cover all these reference books, but this one looks really fun. Great authors involved. I'm excited to dive into this one.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll be covering this one in my backyard by myself on the fire pit, even if we're not doing an enforcement episode. We're going to do it. Speaking of books, Queen's Hope gets a final cover and a first excerpt. This is, of course, the final book in E.K. Johnson's Padme trilogy, because I hope it's a series. I think there's other ways, I think this is probably it, but I can see other places to go. We'll have the discussion in a second. But the final cover is a great Revenge of the Sith era Padme photo turns into a nice, beautiful painting there. I love it because it's Padme looking to the stars with hope, but hiding pain behind her eyes. What do you think about that cover, Joseph?
Oh, that cover is great. It is definitely like a look that we've seen on Padme before. So it does like center when the book's taking place. But that she's got that cloak, right? In the hood from a cloak. And it totally looks like Padme. It totally looks like Naboo fashion. But that cloak evokes sort of mourning,
yeah,
secrecy, connection to Leia. It's just such a really strong image to just visually tell you a lot of the issues that Padme is going to be wrestling with.
Yes. And here's what she'll be wrestling with. In a general sense, the plot will revolve around Padme going on a secret mission to the front lines of the Clone Wars to see what the war looks like up close, causing Sabe to take on the role of Senator Amidala. And they add on maybe making some decisions she might not be prepared to make as a handmaiden. So what do we think of this pitch? This is very general. This is a log line. Seeing that photo, knowing the era we're in, where do we hope this story goes, Joseph?
Yeah, I mean, I think I read that excerpt came out as well, and it made me even more excited. I think what's really exciting to me is catching up with Padme in this specific time, right? Because the books are kind of matched to the films up to a point, right? We get her kind of attack the clones because it's years before, but it's her becoming a senator in that new role. And then it's really seeing what she went through in Phantom Menace. So we really know Padme's relationship to Naboo, to the handmaidens, to being a leader, to balancing being a leader with what her personal needs are. And now to have this version of Padme that lives so fully fleshed out in these books, dealing with all of the issues of the Clone Wars and her relationship with Anakin is really, really exciting. To see, you know, what all she's thinking and feeling.
Yeah, and the thing about the excerpt that I really pulled from, there's a lot about Padme being alone, feeling alone, a mission kind of on her own. A lot of it revolves around, usually I have my handmaidens around who are not just there to protect me, but they become friends, confidence, and, the droids, R2, everything. You get a sense of a little foreboding that Padme is in an era where she's on her own at times, and that is
scary. And the fact that the excerpt is about her preparing a fabric that's been handed down through the years to turn into some new, the excerpt says it's not enough for a dress, but I'm going to make something. It really makes it about tradition, change, relationships. The excerpt is such a great start. And I think between that plot summary and the excerpt, it really showcases all the really great things to just get more information about of her major relationships, right? The marriage with Anakin, what all is going through her head, the changing relationship with the handmaidens. And then I think from the plot summary, one of the really big things is what is Padme's relationship with the State of the Republic and the true cost of the war? Like in the Clone Wars animated series, we see her holding on to hope and trying again and again to have compromise and debate and discussion with the separatists, right? And we see her trying to pass bills that will really help people through the war and to hopefully end the war as soon as possible. So we kind of know externally how she feels. But I think being able in a book like this to get inside her head, I kind of think this book in some ways is going to be like a setup for her line in Revenge of the Sith, where she says, what if the democracy we thought we were serving no longer exists and the Republic has become the very evil we've been fighting to destroy? this book is feeling like, at least partially, like a prequel to that line.
I would love that. Yeah, that's where my mind goes, this idea of Padme being on a secret mission to the front lines of Clone Wars to see what the war really looks like up close. It's kind of my version of what they wrote there. But, you know, Padme understands. She's been in the action. We've watched the Clone Wars. She gets it. She's not like, there's a war on? And that's not the intention here. I think you're right. I think it's that. I think that gives us a chance for her to really see it and feel it, and then for us to understand it even more. So E.K. Johnston can really build out some of these moments in Revenge of the Sith. And I think, you know, it's fair to say, Joseph, Revenge of the Sith might need the most Padme moments built out.
Yeah, no, I think so. I think as much as I love that film, I wish there were more Padme and more Padme perspective.
Yeah. And this has been one of the things I think we love about this book series. Like I said, is it fair to call it a trilogy? Yeah, you know, at this point, yeah, I'm just hopeful. I'm hopeful that we can go into many eras of Padme's life through the eyes and mind of E.K. Johnston.
Absolutely. Let's get that full Paulo story.
Oh, let's get that. Let's get her getting elected. And we got a little bit of, I mean, I could live in this world a lot. I just really love it. And part of it is because we talk it often about E.K. Johnston herself, just seeing Padme on screen, seeing the handmaidens on screen and wanting to know more as a young girl, now getting the opportunity as a writer and just really, you feel it. You feel the love, the understanding, but also the desire to want to understand Padme even more in E.K.'s writing. That's why I personally really love these books, and I think you're in the same ballpark.
Absolutely. Totally agree.
This one's coming out November 2nd. Quick final story here. First look at Star Wars Visions is coming. Lucasfilm will be presenting a 30-minute panel and sneak peek of Visions at Anime Expo Lite on July 3rd. The panel is actually set for currently 3 p.m. Pacific. For those planning to watch or get involved, go to the website to find out more. So still not much is known about this 10-episode series outside of what Kathleen Kennedy said on Investor Day. But this is exciting stuff. I understand why it might be overlooked on the surface. Like, we're looking for Kenobi and Acolyte and Andor. And this is some short films of, you know, you can get not excited for it fast. Unfortunately, I'm finding myself really curious and excited for what this might mean, Joseph, and what this has allowed us to learn about Star Wars and what it means to other people, other cultures, other creators. Thoughts though about this, and any expectations or your anticipation level for this sneak peek panel?
Yeah, no, I totally understand why we get it's Kenobi, it's Ewan McGregor back on screen. Like, those things are, you know, we know Mandalorian, we've got a taste of Boba Fett, so we're excited about those things. But Visions is mysterious right now. We only know a little bit about it, but I'm really, really excited about it. Talk about having different perspectives on Star Wars, to have a culture that Star Wars has been inspired by be able to really express their perspective on Star Wars. I'm so excited for that anime take on Star Wars. The thing that I'm most curious about that I hope is going to be revealed in this panel is, unless I've missed it, we still don't know if these episodes are going to be reinterpretations of moments we know, like the Great Galaxy of Adventures series, right, or is it going to be new stories like the Forces of Destiny series? Mm. We don't yet know, to my knowledge, which it's going to be, and that's what I'm most excited to find out.
Absolutely. I want to know that, those little crunchy details, and excited for this panel. Just to, as I think the biggest thing you can do with Disney Plus is this type of stuff. Yes, the show's clearly dominating, and we can't wait for more of those, but I still want more content that is just looking back at Star Wars and paying homage to Star Wars, digging deeper into Star Wars. I'd love that kind of content on Disney Plus, and I think this is in that category for me. So we're excited here.
Yeah, absolutely. Can't wait to find out more about Visions.
So that's a look at Star Wars news. We're going to take a quick break and get to your questions. Before we do, though, a Force Center recommends an audiobook we think you should try out on us. Joseph, we got a good one today.
That's right. Same as last week, and probably for the next week or so, we are recommending Light of the Jedi by Charles Soule. It is the first book in the High Republic series. The next big book continuing this main story, The Rising Storm, is coming out very soon. We are reading it right now, and we are both enjoying it. So if you want to get caught up on the big story of the High Republic, check out Light of the Jedi by Charles Soule.
Do it and download your free audiobook today at audibletrial.com/ForceCenter. Again, that's audibletrial.com/ForceCenter for your free audiobook. All right, quick break. On the other side, your questions here on ForceCenter.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hey, 4 Center friends, make sure you're keeping up to date on all the great content from Jennifer Landa. Whether it's YouTube, Instagram, or TikTok, you whippersnappers, 4 Center's own Jennifer Landa continues to bring you fun, informative, and insightful laughs and moments.
Also, Jennifer brings her experience and perspective as a Star Wars-loving mother to her DIY projects, blogs, and more. So be sure to head on over to JennyLanda.com, that's JennyLanda.com, for articles like how to make your own Darth Maul sneakers or 10 unique Star Wars baby gift ideas.
Follow Jen on Twitter and Instagram at Jennifer Landa and on TikTok as JenniferLanda1138. Welcome back to Force Center, episode 333 of the big show, the main show, the superstar destroyer of our fleet. Joseph, it's time for some questions from our wonderful Force Center friends.
That's right. We got 2 from Twitter and 2 from patrons on Patreon. As always, we're going to go first to Twitter. This comes from Katia Barga. Katia says, do you think at some point will we see Grogu in Bad Batch? One of the most important questions, I think, that we get to wrestle with as Star Wars fans. Will we see Grogu in Bad Batch? I absolutely love this one, Ken. What is your just initial emotional knee-jerk reaction? Do you think we'll see Grogu in Bad Batch?
Unfortunately, no. But if they somehow were the ones that have to go back to the temple and get Grogu, I know timeline wise that might be a little off, but hear me out. I'd be great with that too.
Yeah, I think when I first read it, it was like, yeah, probably not. But I think that there is a possibility if there is a second season of Bad Batch, if the story of Bad Batch is structured to continue, if it does well enough that Disney Plus gives it a second season, I really think that there is a possibility. And this is where my mind went to, right? Because there can be a discussion in Star Wars, right, of whether or not if a character just shows up because they're popular, it's like everybody loves that Grogu, so throw him in there. And then on the other side, does it make sense? And in what way would it make sense for the characters, for the emotions, for the themes? And I think since Bad Batch is right now, it's wrestling with clone identity, mm-hmm. but it's also really showing us the sudden and horrible changes in the galaxy with the rise of the Empire. And one of the elements of that we're not seeing so far is the Bad Batch encountering directly Jedi trauma. Like we saw it with Caleb Kanan at the beginning. I think Ahsoka is connected to Rex and Race from Trasa. I got that wrong. Trace. You know what I'm saying? Trace and Rafa. So I think there is like a little shadow of Ahsoka. We got Caleb, but that's different than Bad Batch kind of taking a tour of the galaxy and seeing how everybody is affected by the Empire, that it would make sense for them to encounter at some point a surviving Jedi is a part of this picture of the immediate trauma of the change in the galaxy. Yeah. And I'm not sure if I would be interested in, it turns out Bad Batch are the one who helped Grogu at a critical moment. Maybe I'd be okay with that. I think I'd be really intrigued with they encounter a Jedi who that's what this Jedi did, is save the younglings that this Jedi could, right? Yes. And maybe we just kind of see in the background, here's three Padawans and Grogu sleeping. Yes.
Yeah, no, that's actually more realistic and actually gets me excited about the idea that, number one, it's clearly Tara Sanube. And two, not that they need to be... not that Grogu's a baton that needs to be passed on, by the way, but just, you know, that they're not the ones, but maybe they've either see it, like you said, and deal with that big theme that you're talking about, which I think is important. And out of that, the just simple plot device of maybe they move him on to somewhere else. I don't know how Grogu ends from rescued from the temple to sitting in a bassinet in a faraway land. There's some intriguing storytelling beneath the surface of that iceberg tip. So, you know, again, I don't need it to happen. I don't need to be that specific. I like your idea too of just kind of being there. And if anyone out there has a problem with Bad Batch being a roll call of names, you know, then this might not help that. I think there's been great power and purposeful use behind all the people showing up, but this could be an important one, or one that tips the ship over a little bit.
Yeah, no, I think there has been real purpose to people showing up. And I think there is a way to have there be a lot of purpose in Grogu showing up. And like we've talked about on the Bad Batch report that we do, for me, it isn't a problem. But I do think there are similarities between the Bad Batch and the Grogu show in Mandalorian. Omega and Grogu's journeys are very different, but there is some similarity. So there is some interest in, like, if Omega and Grogu met. Yeah. The other thing about this is the implication that I got from the great Jedi, the great Ahsoka Tano episode of The Mandalorian is, yes, Grogu was rescued from the temple. And then a lot of bad things happen that poor Grogu doesn't want to think about.
Yeah.
So we know it's not like, oh, and then Wrecker was his dad for 15 years. Yeah. And it was great. Like, that's probably not the story.
Yeah. Yeah. The idea of Grogu and Omega, especially a younger Grogu than we've known so far, Grogu and Omega having some kind of interaction is wonderfully charming, potentially.
Yes. Yeah. So who knows? It would be great if done well, I think, but absolutely wonderful to talk about and think about. So thank you, Katia. We're going to move on to Caitlin Moore. Caitlin says, just got a tattoo of the Millennium Falcon with "Never Tell Me the Odds" over the scar from where I received my chemo treatments from a tattoo artist who, like me, also found hope in Star Wars during cancer. My question is, what quote or image from Star Wars would you get a tattoo of? And before we launch in that question, just Caitlin, thank you for sharing that. That is so powerful. Mm-hmm. And it's such a great example of how much Star Wars can be
friend and an ally and a source of inspiration in the real world and in really important moments of our lives. So thank you for sharing that story of hope. Ken, what are your thoughts on this story and the question about the tattoos?
First of all, I echo what Joseph says. It reminds me of a friend of the show, Zachary Bassinger, who we had on Spotlight Star Wars, who is still battling, but cancer well, but as at different points in his life, it's been real down and out. And he told me, he's like, you know, the image of Wedge flying into the Death Star to take it down is something that literally inspired me as I'm getting chemo treatments. Like, and that's as a, you know, a functional adult. There you go. Star Wars means anything. You can take that anywhere. So I love that. I love that, Caitlin. Great stuff. As far as this, Never Tell Me the Odds hangs on my studio door here. Definitely one of my favorite quotes and favorite Han moments. I don't have tattoos. I haven't seen any sleeves. You have, Joseph? I don't know. But so this is always a weird question. I've thought about a lot. Like, if I was to get a tattoo, Grace wants me to get, she wants me to have some sleeves, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she's really, really upset. Come on. So we've talked about it. I've thought about this in just a simple base level Star Wars way. What would I be? And it's like, what? Would I get a back tattoo of a Y-wing? Like, I don't know what to do here. quotes are great. I can't fit that great Obi-Wan quote to Maul in the desert of, you know, all the things he says to Maul and the twins. I can't fit dialogue. Maybe I just get a final draft document.
You could do it in Orabesh. A good tattoo artist can make it fit.
There you go. So I'm trying to look, and then one, and this, I gotta be careful. We got some embargo stuff to deal with, but Rising Storm on the back of the book has a great, great quote that just says, "For light and life." And I'm like, that one, I hadn't even cracked open the book yet, and it resonated with me.
Yeah.
So there you go. I'm going to get that across my face.
Yeah. I have had a long journey with tattoos. Tattoo is something that I've always wanted. It's always been a life experience I've wanted. And then I always get particular about it. So, like, I can't remember, like, I wanted to get one when I was 18 and it didn't work for many different life reasons. Yeah. And then I was kind of like waiting for the right time. And I was like, well, maybe when I'm this age, oh, that age passed. Well, for sure. When I'm this age, then I'll pass. Yeah. And I have an email that I left in my drafts folder asking a specific friend, cause I liked his tattoo about who the artist was. And that sat in the drafts folder for a year. And then I finally sent it to him. And then I was about to do it. And then something else came up. So for me, it's something I've wrestled with for a long time. One of the things I've wrestled with is exactly where to put the image and how to orient it.
Yeah.
And I think part of it, this for me comes from I'm a visual artist. I'm a designer and, the idea that there's an image on me and I can't fuss with it. I can't just tweak the angle of it a little bit. So this is just definitely some deep psychology of the parts of me that are loose and flowing and organic and artistic and the parts of me that are rigid. But I think over the years I was like, I'm going to get the Rebel Starbird, Rebel Insignia. I think now there's a good possibility that someday in my life I will get the Jedi symbol.
Mm.
Just the idea of what the Jedi mean of they aren't perfect. They don't claim to be perfect. What makes them amazing is that they strive to be the best version of themselves. And, you know, I've said before on the podcast, I've had some difficult moments in the last couple of years where have really been helped by, you know, the spirit of For Light and Life, of just taking a deep breath and remembering to be in the moment, remembering to, you can choose to be angry about this, or you can choose to take a deep breath and try to see it from another perspective. And even if it's something that you have a right to be upset about, is it going to do you any good to be angry in the moment? Or should you take a deep breath and then be, act with purpose and be proactive and do something that's truly going to make a difference instead of just raging about something? And all those ideas, as well as just like the fun and the fantasy that the Jedi symbol has, that, you know, that kind of lightsaber like image that connects to my whole long journey from being a little kid and wanting a lightsaber like Luke Skywalker. I think looking down and seeing that would make me really happy.
I'm with you on a lot of those, trying to figure out what, and something so permanent scares me. Even I can change things and everything. But I hear Caitlin's story, like, That's so powerful to me. And it's powerful for me, not just as a Star Wars fan, just as a human being, to fight that and to overcome odds and never, hey, don't tell me the odds. It just means so much. I sometimes look at my life, which has been relatively blessed all the way through, and I understand that. I sometimes like, I almost feel I have to earn it. And I think I probably have some moments, but, and I joke about where to put it and everything, but like, yeah, a lot of thought into it. So I'm moved by that story and right there with you, Joseph, on what feels right and where.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I'd probably get the symbol. I think the thing I've thought about is getting it on my arm. So I see it. Like when I was young, I was just like, I want it on my shoulder. And like, now I'd be like, I would see that. And my wife would see that.
Yeah.
And there's a part of me is like, if I have a tattoo, it's something that I want to be able to see all the time. But I also want to like have it be a part of like I'm expressing myself to the world as well.
Yeah.
So that's my thoughts there. And then for quotes, I don't think I would do a quote, but if I were going to do a quote, I might do "Luminous beans, are we?" Mm-hmm. Which would be a reminder to me to not get uptight about the placement of the tattoo. Your focus determines your reality is not a bad one.
Yeah.
But I might also just want some Obi-Wan. So I would consider you've taken your first step into a larger world.
Ooh, that's
that's just kind of a practical, straightforward line that Obi-Wan has to Luke in A New Hope. But, it's got a lot of power about like there's always more to discover and you just got to begin your journey.
That's good, too. All right. Check in next week when Joseph and I both have tattoos.
We'll get them live on air. It'll be great. Thank you so much, Caitlin, for the great story and the question. We're going to move on to our questions from patrons on Patreon. This one comes from Tim Langell. Tim says, a crossover quandary. As we have examples of martial arts being practiced in the Star Wars universe, who stars in the HoloNet version of Cobra Kai? Ooh, this is a great one. Absolutely good fun here. I have had many friends tell me all about Cobra Kai and how much they love it. I myself have not personally seen it, so I'm working at a disadvantage here. Again, what is your thought? Have you seen Cobra Kai? Who's the Star Wars person in the show?
I am not a big Karate Kid fan. I've seen it a couple times. I actually worked not down the street from the apartment where they shot at in the first Karate Kid, which I'm sure has made an appearance or something in the show. So I understand people love the show. That's not a comment on it. It's not something I'm super interested in, but I'm very aware of it. So did you take this question as in the Star Wars universe? This is a TV show in Star Wars.
Yeah. Yeah. So like in the Star Wars universe, they've got their Holos, and somebody is starring in the Star Wars version of a Cobra Kai show on the old HoloNet. Who's the Star Wars character who's starring?
I took a realistic version too, but also it might need to be Maul at one point. I mean, I think Cobra Kai, from what I understand, is a lot of like, was that William Zabka's character, just like, I was the villain, but hear me out type of take. I know I'm being very general with that. I totally know that. And so I think Maul could be like, I'm not agreeing with Maul's takes or actions all the way through his life. Definitely not.
But he's made some poor choices. Some cruel choices.
But he's kind of got that vibe of like, well, let me tell you what it was like. Here's my story.
Yeah, in the way he just kind of was like, I'm evil, but also like I'm going to, twist you, Ezra, and make you do evil things. But also, it'd be great to have somebody to chat with. I don't think she's anxious to star in any HoloNet shows, but Ahsoka came to mind. I think, again, probably because we're spending a lot of time with those early episodes of Clone Wars that is really demonstrating that she has this different sort of athletic skill and style of movement.
Mm-hmm.
Kira came to mind. She's that master of Teras Kasi. That would be great. But I think my real answer, if we're being really realistic about inside the Star Wars universe, there is a HoloNet show. I think it's got to be Lilo Primock in his days where he wore an exoscoot to star in HoloNets.
Yes, absolutely. That's perfect.
A strange, great detail from the Solo Visual Dictionary.
Yeah.
That he's a star of old, including wearing a suit to appear in HoloNet movies and television shows.
I love that small world pictures. I went a little bit of a realistic version, like if Star Wars was to do like kind of a martial arts based show and a Cobra Kai, like if they were to Disney Plus it up. I think it can combine into what the question is from Tim. Number one, if Donnie Yen isn't involved in the show, we've done something wrong, like just somehow.
Of course.
Yeah, but I think the answer is kind of the answer to me. Like I try to sometimes be maybe cute or think around what I think might be the obvious answer. I think Conja Club. And you have the guys from the Raid who are heralded for a lot of their skills and not just martial arts, but stunts. And then if you have a sitcom, you could call the sitcom, tell that to Conja Club.
Tell it to Conja Club.
Yeah. And that could be a 30-minute
Hasu Leach bounds down the stairs to big applause every episode.
Every time. And I think, Cork and Shand, in there as well. I think so.
Yes.
I'll submit that as an answer both inside and outside the Star Wars story.
Oh, that is great. Some great answers. And clearly, we need to make some time for Cobra Kai Center so we can answer this question again and better. Thank you, Tim. That's a very, very fun question. We got another fun question here as our final question, Ken, from Anthony King. Anthony says, hello, Force Center. Star Wars and Lucasfilm have been tremendous at utilizing different mediums to tell different stories within the galaxy far, far away. One of the mediums that has not been used yet is the concept album. Is there a real world artist or music group, could be deceased too, that you would want to write and develop this unique story? Do you have any thoughts about what the record could be about? For me, I would like to see the band Rush tackle the origins of the Force. Neil Peart's excellent drumming and lyrical styling would be a fun addition to the universe. That is great. Really great question and a really great mix of a band and a Star Wars story to be told. How did the Force begin? Let Neil Peart's drum set tell you. That's awesome. Ken, where do you go with this?
I love this one. Sneak a music question in. I'm going to have some thoughts. I ended up that concept albums are great and there's different levels of it, obviously. Right. And even like, one of my favorite bands, Minnesota's own Semisonic, their first big major label release. It's not quite a concept album, but it tells the story of a relationship running the course of the album. There's a lot of that kind of stuff. I'm a big, big fan of Liz Phair. Exile in Guyville was this kind of concept album, song by song response to Mick Jagger and Exile on Main Street, and just a response to male dominated music industries. I can go that route, but I'm going to one of my other favorite bands. They're no longer active, but from mid 2000s, for about 10 years, No and the Whale, which was a UK based band and a lot of people behind it. But Charlie Fink was the vocals, lead guitarist, and main creative force behind it. And they have a great, their second album, First Days of Spring, back in 2009, is a big concept album. And he actually wrote and directed a film that follows the length of the album. Mm. And so I want to take that energy, the joy, heartbreak, the trials of love, and all those kind of things. And it goes deep. It's not just all they were kind of known for their 5 years time song, which was kind of a whistly, happy song with some dark undertones about romance or the potential of romance to go either way. Take all that energy, Joseph, and put it to the High Republic and tell the story of, and it's not done yet, but of Avar Chris and Elzar Man.
Oh, wow.
Had a one love story that could not be, that still goes on in some way. I would love that album.
Oh, yeah, yeah. What would it be called? It's Okay Because We're Padawans?
Last Days of Padawan Love. I don't know. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, two Padawans, one summer. Yeah, that's, man, that sounds great. I came up with a couple different ones. I know Anthony was asking about kind of news stories, but I started with one of my favorite bands from my youth, Guns N' Roses. And this is partially because, they got back together. They're doing tours. It's great. Talk about finding a way to move forward past old conflicts. Good job, Axl and Slash. But I want them to make a new album. And I want them to make an album called The Rise, The Fall, and The Rise. And it is a Guns N' Roses musical version of the story of Anakin Skywalker.
Nice. Yeah.
Then two others, or I'm not going to lie, three others. Okay. I'm also a big fan of Lady Gaga. I really like that just the amount of experimentation and variety in her music.
Yeah.
And I think it would be great to hear a story from her about an alien singer whose life gets ruined by the First Order and becomes a part of the Resistance.
Ooh.
So sort of like a Rose Tico story, but starting from that place of like, I had this whole different life that was about art and experimentation and discovery. And I'm, who knows what, maybe it's a Chadra fan, something just like really fun, like an alien singer. And then
that world of beauty gets shattered by the horror of the First Order, and this alien decides that they need to use all their power and creativity to help the resistance.
Okay, I have an IMDb Pro account. I'm trying to look up Lady Gaga's management information. How do we get you to pitch this to her now and get it to Lucasfilm? I love that idea.
Yeah, that's probably my most sincere, like, maybe that could happen. Like, her last album was a bit of a concept album. Other two for me, one is a big fan of Frank Sinatra. Sinatra has had a very interesting life where he knew real failure and pain and heartbreak. He was picked on a lot as a kid. So he had these twin pillars in his life of kind of really feeling like an underdog and nobody, and then also being one of the most successful humans who ever walked the earth. So he a lot of his, especially some of his later work, is really kind of telling that story of becoming something and being doubted. So a Sinatra concept album of a young nobody in any era who becomes a Jedi and somebody that nobody thinks is going to be anything special, but then becomes something special. That would be great. And then my final one, because this is a band I liked a lot in my youth, but have sort of lost connection with. And then I heard one of their songs in a deli, and it was great to just go like, oh, yeah, I should listen to that sometime. It is Pink Floyd with their great big concept album, The Dark Side of Mortis. I think that would be great.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's a great answer. And from there, it makes me think of Radiohead as well. A lot of those kind of big... kind of artsy rock bands. Yeah, that's great stuff. The Gaga one is wonderful. Yeah, I'm with you too. Like, don't be me, folks. I'm an old rock and roll radio DJ. When Gaga first started showing up, and I was just like, what the hell is this crap? These kids these days. And then I remember watching her on SNL and just going, I've made a huge mistake, and the problem is me. So I really absolutely embrace her talent. And that's just an intriguing idea. This is a great question, Anthony. Oh,
yeah. Yeah. So, hopefully all of my other ones are probably not going to happen. What with Frank Sinatra, sadly being with the Force, probably not going to happen. Pink Floyd, also some issues there. Guns N' Roses, some issues there as well, but Gaga, this can happen. I'm going to put that out there in the Force and hope it happens. Great answers, Ken. Any other thoughts on this one?
No, I have to almost stop myself. And it seems like you're in the same boat. We can answer these all day. Love music, love talking music, and when you can combine it with Star Wars, that is a great thing.
Yeah. So thank you for all these great questions that got us to dig deep and think about Star Wars, but also just have a sense of fun and play as well. Thank you, Anthony. Thank you, Tim. Thank you, Caitlin and Katia. Those are questions, Ken.
Those are our questions indeed. If you want to reach out and find us and follow us, you can do so on Twitter at Force Center Pod. We're on Instagram and YouTube as well. Facebook page is Force Center Podcast. We're available on Anchor, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Amazon Music, and Spotify. Merch is available at tpublic.com/user/ForceCenter. And you can support us directly at patreon.com/ForceCenter. Don't forget, if you support at the top tier, you get a set of trading cards, Force Center trading cards. Me, Joseph Jennifer, designed by the great Brian Ward. Renan Marr has some on the way. Michael Zook has some on the way as well. Also, you can follow me at Ken Napsok. Go to my website, kennapsok.com. We always like to highlight charities, our things to put our real world attention behind. Still highlighting the Trevor Project through June here. You can join the fight to defend LGBTQ youth by going to thetrevorproject.org. This will provide a lot of support, a lot that they do for that community. And we're here with Pride Month, but Pride should not end after a brief 30-day period here at a Force Center. So they do important work that carries on throughout the year. Joseph.
Yeah, you can find me Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, at Joseph Scrimshaw. That's one of my kind of ongoing Star Wars adventures. I'm having fun sharing some of my action figures on TikTok. Some non-Star Wars, but mostly Star Wars. So if you're interested in that, you can find me on TikTok at Joseph Scrimshaw. You can check out my website, josephscrimshaw.com, for all the other stuff I do and will be doing in the future. For the thing that I'd like to highlight this week is an organization called Vote Forward. It is an organization that has people write letters to encourage other people to use their power to vote. They got a new campaign coming very soon. So if you're interested in that, you can check it out on their website, votefwd.org.
That is a great one indeed. We thank you all for listening to Force Center. This it's not at all possible without you listening, supporting, and joining us on our adventures celebrating Star Wars. That's it for this week. We'll see you soon, you Boss Nass fans, here on Force Center.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Ever Googled your own name? Prepare for a shock because your personal info, including addresses and phone numbers, is out there, especially with the recent hacks at some big phone and healthcare companies. But here's where Aura steps in. Aura scans the dark web for your sensitive information and sends real-time alerts. Aura also actively requests that your information be removed from data broker sites, putting you back in control. Aura provides you with a complete online safety toolkit, credit and transaction monitoring, a secure password manager, a privacy-enhancing VPN, and more. Try Aura risk-free with a 14-day trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety. Rest easy with Aura. Visit aura.com/safety today.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.